Dr. Tharp, no offense, but I hope we start talking a little less to each other each month.
Well, first of all, let me assure you that I am very happy to call in and talk and give you information or opinion or just plain conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly things are starting to look up. So I do agree with you. I would like to not have to be talking to people about all of these things. And actually, it looks like things are shaping up. So we've said that before, mm-hmm. and then I came back. So.
Well, we never knew, and it seemed like there was the main thing after we got past the first or second or third round of COVID was the variants. Why didn't we get another variant that came out of the last variant? Or is there still that possibility?
Well, first of all, there's still that possibility. And in fact, there have been several sub-variants that we have seen. I don't know the designations for all of them, but things evolve all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about a virus, the time it takes for a generation of viruses is so short that we get variations all the time. Fortunately, we haven't seen anything that has been worrisome, and the Omicron variant seems to have, kind of shut down a lot of the other ones, and hopefully the beneficial changes that we saw with Omicron will persist, and we'll be able to get into this endemic state. You know, the influenza pretty much does the same thing. The influenza virus mutates all the time. We see different variations and lower level variations even on that. And that's why one of the reasons why we do flu vaccines every year. The flu vaccine, in case people are not familiar, is developed by doing surveillance of what the predominant strains seem to be, and we take our best guess at making a vaccine that covers the variants that we think we're going to see. Most years, that works out pretty well, but there are some years where we just missed the mark, and we had a lot more people, like the swine flu time. And several others. So it's not exact, and it moves quick enough that we can't just do things in advance until the time is right. So I suspect that we're going to see something similar with the coronavirus. So first of all, I'd say that if you're willing to take a vaccine, that we'll have some boosters account for new variants in the future. Hopefully, we can get it down to just being once a year, like we do for the flu vaccine, and that's very likely. So, I'm glad we'll be able to do that. But that's kind of our future.
It seems like every day we hear more and more schools dropping their mask mandates or going to a personal preference, and we see that throughout the state, throughout the nation even. I know I didn't really pay close attention to California, New York, but I know they're easing their restrictions too, and it seems like if it's in those bigger cities, they're easing the restrictions. Hopefully we do have this thing somewhat licked anyway. I do have a question about how long are we expecting the vaccine efficacy to last?
That's something that we are watching very closely. We would expect the vaccine to last for a year anyway. The question is How long will the general antibodies stick around? And we just haven't had time to find that out. We do know that it does drop down as time goes on if we're not re-exposed. But the technical answer to that is that the antibodies that we can measure easily do decrease. What we can't measure easily is the memory cells that keep all of the things that we have developed antibodies to sort of on the back burner. And when the illness comes on us again, if we have been vaccinated or exposed, we get what we call an amnestic response. And that response is from some different white cells that actually bring back the code that we had used before, and we're able to produce antibodies much quicker. So we also have to recognize that as well. So what we can measure is a little difficult to tell how long that's going to be. Basically, we have to wait until we've had more experience with it and see whether or not people maintain that level of amnestic response to not require additional vaccine.
You know, one thing that I heard about while COVID was going, while we were right in the midst of it, was oftentimes people would contract COVID, get rid of it, and then have long-term symptoms. Have you heard anything about people? I know a couple people who still claim to not have a sense of taste or a sense of smell. Do you still hear that, and do you think that's a big swath of the population or just a few here and there?
The short answer is yes and yes.
Okay.
long COVID is a real entity and a concern for us. It can be as simple as you don't smell quite as well, and I take that as what's in your nose, not other
how places. You smell. Yeah, yeah.
It can be other problems. Primarily, the nervous system gives these difficulties, and some people have had horrible results. That is very real and is a significant disability. If you take all of the things that can hang on, CDC says that there may be as much as a third of the people who actually contracted the disease who have continued symptoms for 3 months or longer. And so we do see that people get better gradually over time, even with the so-called long COVID. We're investigating why that happens and what we can do about it. But it is a significant concern. I think that once we get over worrying about spreading it so much, then we will be devoting much more of our efforts into investigating what actually happens with people when they become infected. But yes, there are long-term concerns. Fortunately, the really bad ones are rare, but the annoying ones or the little things certainly may go on for quite a few of us.
Have you seen any reports lately from the CDC about masks or what we should be doing with those?
Yes. I haven't read the actual dispatches, but what we have heard, according to our state health department from the CDC, is that we are entering a phase where we're probably going to be able to not use masks on a routine basis, and I think that what this experience has done is demonstrated that masks are useful. And I think there will be people who will decide that they're going to be more careful and they're going to wear a mask when they're in high contact situations. But we're not going to require them. In fact, today, my understanding is that that we are relaxing the masking guidelines for schools and other areas. The school buses still will require masks because that is a federal mandate that we expect to be lifted before too long. But that comes from a different source. But as of March the 1st, we are allowing schools to make decisions about what they want to do. And a good part of that is because the Omicron variant not only is so infectious, but it is it's very fast. And we know now that this variant, the primary spreading time is before any symptoms occur, much more so than the earlier versions of COVID. And because of that, it doesn't do us hardly any good at all to do contact tracing and the things that we've been doing. So we are, I'm expecting changes to reduce the distance mandates that we've had and also the masking for those reasons. And we're following the science and getting out of this.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you over the last couple of years, Dr. Tharp. And we're not done yet. So I have a feeling that we'll be keeping in contact with you. And, of course, if you ever feel the need to let us know something, call anytime, okay?
Okay. Well, I do appreciate the chance to talk to people and help our community stay as safe as possible. And so thank you very much for making that possible for all of us. Have a great day.
You too, Dr. Tharp. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much for that.